Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Welcome back to Boat Business here on CannabisRadio.com. Appreciate all of you joining us. Coming up, I'm speaking with the founder and CEO of Realm Insurance, navigating the highs of cannabis insurance, here with founder and CEO Joe Zielkowski. We're going to talk to him in just a moment, but first of all, Boat Business is powered by the Buzz CRM. Stop juggling marketing tools. The Buzz CRM is your all-in-one solution. You've heard me talk about this. You just got to go ahead and go to the barrier entry and invest. 500 tools underneath the platform, powered by AI to handle emails, social media, even customer inquiries, anytime, any place. 24/7, personalized workflows, omnichannel reach. You'll never miss a lead with our missed call text back feature. Doesn't matter what kind of business you are, but especially in the cannabis space, if you want to come in with a single affordable plan, no more multiple logins, no more multiple accounts you have to go and manage. You can also see it in action. We will have introductory webinars to get you under the hood so you can learn more. But you can streamline your workflows, boost your ROI right now with TheBuzzCRM.com, TheBuzzCRM.com today. Learn more. Stay tuned for webinar details. We'll tell you about that here on Blunt Business in the coming months. So my guest today here is the visionary founder and CEO of Realm Insurance, a pioneering specialty insurance carrier started in 2019, a sharp focus on emerging and often underserved industries. And Realm is a global leader in providing critical insurance solutions for the cannabis, psychedelics, AI space economies. Over a decade in risk management, he has been part of the launch of two successful insurance startups, a proven track record in developing alternative risk financing and transfer solutions for complex multinational companies, so much more. There's a lot to go and talk about with Joe here on the program, including the launch of their 50-state managing general agent throughout the United States, solidifying a commitment to supporting the pioneers of tomorrow's industries. Joe Zielkowski, thanks for being on Boat Business.
All right. Great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Pleasure to have you on. So, as a trailblazer in the cannabis insurance space, one of the areas I looked at was the Insurance Times put out a story today as we're recording about the recent THC drinks boom. I know there's been a lot of issues when it comes to anything hemp-derived or THC-based of edible consumables and drinks with various states. With that said, there's been a lot of issues about a lot of volatility when it comes to being able to go and have THC drinks as part of the product line for any of these companies. But I want to know about what an article they talk about that had most traditional insurers remain cautious due to federal restrictions, limited actuarial data, and reputational concerns. So at Realm, I want to know what your team does to overcome these hurdles, what you consider to be sustainable and scalable insurance for a product that is evolving and varied, and you don't even know what the real regulations are in the state for THC-infused beverages.
Yeah, so I think the risk kind of related considerations for THC-infused beverages is, a really interesting topic in and of itself. And it's kind of a microcosm for the way that we approach risk in these kind of new and innovative and transformational sectors. But I think, to answer your question, more broadly, one of the great parts about being an insurance company that's focused on these new but also transformational sectors is that we're moving into these sectors with the idea of providing aligned support across a broad insurance product suite, knowing that these sectors are not well developed, knowing that we're going up against regulatory variability or a lack of regulatory clarity. We know that we're going to be dealing with companies that have, let's say, less mature approaches to risk management than maybe they do for their, you know, commercial strategy. And so it forces us to really underwrite with a perspective that I think needs to be much more aligned with a risk-aware approach of underwriting companies versus risk-averse, right? And if you compare and contrast the landscape of risk from an underwriting perspective in 2019 relative to 2025, you could say what a difference 6 years makes. I think in 2019, companies, especially in the U.S., were still dealing with a lot of regulatory uncertainty, even from a state by state basis. There were still, I think, a lot larger and more unanswered questions with respect to federal legality.
Well, compliance barriers were so limited and also very easy to enter, because that's the biggest thing I've had an issue with on this program. We talk about compliance so much, but it's also the weighing in of balancing the right amount of regulatory compliance. Look, not everybody can afford to be GMP or to be above that. That's understood. But at the same time, there's also companies, and I mentioned this before we got on the air, how we've talked to other underwriters and the issue of the risk mitigation they deal with, because they're only buying the bare minimum of coverage, the bare minimum policy they can get. But if something happens to them, God forbid, their business is gone. It's going to get wiped out. And that's the part where Insurance Business Mag, you were quoted by them, and they took this from you. They said, quote, "It's not just about underwriters or having enough bandwidth on the product innovation team. It's about a financial foundational effort from which we can scale a sustainable business." Because even for yourselves, there's also got to be some kind of a balance to it, again, service to the clients, but also not put yourself as an insurance company at risk as well. So elaborate on the term financial effort, specifically for cannabis, and in the light of the patchwork and the regulatory landscape there is, with the mitigating factors on what regulatory compliance means in those states.
Yeah, so I think the starting point is that we approach the cannabis and psychedelics and alternative therapeutic sectors with, a strategy of creating diversification within a concentrated sector, and that takes a couple of different forms. Number one is, we're looking at cannabis risks across the supply chain. So whether you're a cultivation company, whether you're focused on a distribution solution, whether you're, more focused on the harvesting and processing or the manufacturing or medical versus recreational, retail versus wholesale. So we want to see a cross-section of operations that really spans the spectrum, which gives us an element of diversification with respect to risk profile. Another point of really important diversification is regional. So while I'm sure we're going to spend the majority of our time talking about companies operating in the U.S. subject to state-by-state regulatory authorization, we're also underwriting companies in Australia, Germany, Canada, right? Other jurisdictions where there is federal legality, but maybe very different operating environments than we have in the U.S. And then the third point of diversity is company maturity, right? We're looking at early stage pre-revenue companies all the way to publicly traded multi-state operators. So when you think about the importance of building sustainability as an insurance company, right, building that portfolio of exposures, what's really important is when you're moving into these industries, in addition to having kind of an eyes wide open perspective on the importance of merits-based underwriting, you've got to make sure you're not subjecting yourself to systemic risk, arising from focusing only on publicly traded cultivators based in a particular jurisdiction. So one of the ways that we do that is just making sure that we're very deliberate in the portfolio construction, seeing as much of the various ecosystems as we possibly can. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And part of this too is that you want to be able to go ahead and have the ability to go ahead and, supply all these companies into new markets, into the fact if it's not just cannabis, if it's more of just hemp derived, where it's available in all of these states, or some way, somehow, you have to go and cover the entire United States. You've already had it where Rome is now in the place with an, as being a managed general agent for all 50 states now. So coverage is available for all 50 states. And, you know, eventually we're going to get more states that will be greenlit for adult use or for medical. And those states, when they implement their programs, they're going to have some variations that, you know, they're not, the companies are not going to do themselves. They might have attorneys that might be on board to might know what the law is, but the insurance companies also have to be aware of those new laws that come into place. So with that 50 state distinction now, the structure for yourselves to be able to underwrite and service the nuanced risks of cannabis from cultivation to retail. Tell me what changes right now in terms of servicing the clients wherever they might be in whichever markets, in whichever scenario they might deal with.
So yeah, I think a little bit about, you know, another key aspect of underwriting strategy and profitability for Realm is, you know, since we're focusing on companies operating in these very much underserved sectors from an insurance availability standpoint, we often find ourselves providing the first layer of protection a company is purchasing. So think about product liability. If they need to buy the first $5 million worth of product liability, we'll likely be the first insurance company to offer them that primary layer of coverage. And if they try to build a tower up to 10 or 25 or 50 million, maybe there will be other market participants that sit in excess of the coverage that we're providing. So the point being that if we're underwriting these companies for that first layer of protection, we want to get as close to the risk as we possibly can. Now, before we launched the USMGA, we were really operating from Bermuda as a Bermuda domiciled insurance carrier, which means we were working through, in some cases, very complex distribution channels. There might be a retail U.S. wholesale or retail broker in the U.S. that's working through a U.S. wholesale broker that's working through London or Bermuda. And while that is effective, it's not as effective potentially as being in the region, developing that business and working as closely as we can with broking partners and insureds to really understand the facts and circumstances of their business. So the primary benefit, Jorge, of having the USMGA, which we, you know, we obtained the 50 state licenses for back at the end of Q4, is it puts us more directly in the US market, sitting shoulder to shoulder with the operators and the US specialist brokers that are focused on providing accessibility to insurance products and solutions that we ultimately offer. It should enhance the broker experience. It should enhance, you know, the client experience and ultimately, you know, maximize the accessibility of the different insurance products that we have in support of companies operating in the cannabis ecosystem.
Most importantly, I mean, it's amazing where when companies can have so much of a struggle to go ahead and find banking services or find attorneys
right.
that will be able to go represent them. The issues just of the essential needs, and especially of insurance, I'm glad that, you know, we've had companies that come into the space, but it's also, you want to identify the insurance companies that outside of the cannabis space, the fact that they will serve in other fringe areas that are either AI or psychedelics, and just know that you'll tackle these areas and you'll give the peace of mind these companies need, along with the other insurance services you provide worldwide, along with the 50 states now that you have in place. So there's a lot of identification when it comes to the credibility and the reach and the bandwidth that the companies, like insurance companies like Realm, can actually handle here. So we're going to talk more about that. But one story I never got a chance to bring up before, and this is going back to February, was MJ Biz Daily put out a story. It was a guest columnist, but they put an interesting story out there that, again, you always can find reasons to go ahead and say, why do you need insurance? Well, let's take one here. Why cannabis operators can't ignore insurance in an era of climate change. We're going to talk about that coming up after a short break. I'm here with the founder CEO of Realm Insurance, Josie Olkowski here. And stand by. We're going to be back with more questions after a short break. Welcome back. I'm here with Josie Olkowski, founder and CEO of Realm Insurance. By the way, website is realminsurance.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more with volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
RELM insurance.com, RELM insurance.com. Learn about everything they're doing right now and, you know, take a look and see what they can provide for you as we go back into the segment. So MJ Biz Daily. And there was an attorney that was named Allison Jean. If I pronounce that wrong, forgive us. But she wrote a story that, you know, it stirs a bit of conversation. Why cannabis operators can't ignore insurance in an era of climate change. So digging into the story, they point out that, quote, cannabis operators can't ignore insurance in this era. And they cited a UC Berkeley study that found a $2.4 billion in damages and about 25% production loss resulted from wildfires and smoke between 2020 and 2021. So, I mean, we can find factors in the environment that could cause, whether it could be tornadoes, whether it could be hurricanes, whether it could be fires, earthquakes, whatever. I mean, natural disasters we can see, and also forest fires as well, beyond standard property and crop insurance. Joe, talk about the innovative products or risk management strategies that RELM is developing to address threats like this to climate change. Is that something that does get addressed, that gets brought up by your clients? What do they necessarily say to you?
Yeah, so I think you hit on a lot of the high points, which is, you know, climate risks have the potential to significantly impact any sort of cultivation model that is largely, you know, an outdoor cultivation model. Even on the in-house model, you've got the idea of business interruption, right? Physical damage events that result in power outages or HVAC breakdowns. And more broadly, you have the overall impact to supply chain, right? That can exist on dependent supply chain partners or just knock-on effects from disruptions within the overall supply chain. I think the other consideration is ESG pressure and increased regulatory transparency and compliance to ensure that companies operating, especially at the public level, are checking the appropriate boxes and sensitive to ESG related initiatives. So, you know, I think it comes back to what exists in the market currently for things like crop insurance, right? And federally, you can't get crop insurance if you're growing, cannabis beyond, THC levels within CBD. And I think when you look at some of the more innovative products that we are sensitive to and certainly, you know, continue to make headway on is, you know, how can we provide a more relevant form of kind of precision agricultural coverage using, you know, technology in another industry that's near and dear to our heart, right? Which is in kind of the decentralized finance space. The utilization of smart contracts and oracles, you know, weather instruments that already exist, weather infrastructure that help inform a more efficient way of providing coverage for cannabis cultivators, you know, basically crop insurance, but available for companies that are actually growing, that are growing cannabis, and then also making it available to them in a more efficient way, disintermediated, efficient premium in, efficient claims out. You know, those are kind of cross-functional solutions that we're working out with other partners in the industry. And then I think, you know, if you look more broadly at traditional property insurance coverage, working closely with cultivators with indoor grow operations, you've got, you know, the equivalent of kind of inventory exposure. You've got a massive reluctance to the market to provide anything that resembles business interruption coverage for these companies. And so we really do take a risk-based approach from underwriting. In other words, we take an individual submission in, we deeply engage with the operators via brokers, we understand kind of the facts and circumstances of the risk, and we can use a flexible approach to insurance and underwriting to hopefully arrive at a solution that's mutually beneficial. But I would say climate change, like a lot of the other exposures in the industry, it requires data, right? And the fact that data is required is in the first instance, it's one of the reasons there's so little market participation in a lot of the industry sectors that we focus on. But at the same time, we also feel a responsibility to directly participate in building that data set through informed underwriting. So the more information that we can receive from our counterparties, the more data that we can assemble, the quicker that we can develop more relevant pricing and reserving models to bring better products to the market that are going to put us in a position of sustainability going forward.
And that's the part you made a point of, is that collection and analysis of data. So you can work on the risk models, the pricing.
Right.
And it's really, it's what information will these cultivators give to you so you can give an idea of what they need to go and how to weigh the risk that you might have. The other thing too, and I don't know if I remember asking this to any other insurance companies when I've had them on, but I mean, is this something where you feel like it's imperative upon your team as the insurance company to evaluate the compliance standards that they already have in place and to recommend that the compliance standards, if they were to reach good manufacturing practices or something a little bit higher than that, does that help at all in the risk model if they're showing that they're doing the proper paperwork that every other industry standard has, which is GMP? If they were to reach that point, does that help them? Will that help them in the back end of investment of insurance? Like, will it take some of the cost away?
Absolutely. Right. I think if you can, just like, you know, a company that's SOC 2 Type 2 certified, if we were underwriting that company for cyber related insurance, that is immediately a credible independent source of validation that this company is sensitive around the security of, you know, sensitive data. And the same approach we apply to companies that are GMP certified or are working with well-known, credible regulatory technology firms that evaluate their their compliance on an ongoing basis so that they can maintain banking relationships with a credible banking partners. You know, anything that we can pull from established credible standards on a third-party basis, ideally will kind of enhance the risk credits that we would give in developing a premium for a particular exposure.
I exactly agree with that part, because, I mean, you already have the standards if you were to apply for other industries. If you have that kind of industry standard that everybody else falls, and a cannabis company, even though they're not legally bound to that kind of deal, but that they can self-police themselves and create that compliance standard because that's what the ongoing other industries are doing, that only helps your team out.
It's an agricultural business. You know what I mean?
Right.
The legality of their product is certainly a question, but when it comes to evaluating these companies in a rational, risk-aware way, mm-hmm. we're not here for the short term to try to grab as much premium as we possibly can and pull out. This is part of a 10-plus year strategy to make sure we're getting data, we're building aligned products, we're putting subject matter expertise and underwriting experience to work. And the more engagement we can get with our insureds, right, the people operating and really doing the innovating in this sector, the better we are able at being flexible in the way that we're providing important coverage to these companies.
So, staying on the area of regulatory clarity, that's the other part where we were talking about the story from before the break about THC drinks. And in these markets, right. The other thing too is that there's regulatory changes that happen federal or state that they have to be aware of, but also it's the same thing that goes. If these companies can hold a compliance standard that is the industry standard everywhere else, you know, when they don't have any kind of area, is that something that you look at where in the industry, is it just imperative on just what the industry allows, what that state says? If a company has a compliance standard that is, they're going to just go with the bare minimum. They're going to just do what's necessary, what the state allows, what the control board says, what the Office of Cannabis Management says. If they only go for that route, I mean, when you approach the client, do you say, well, listen, I mean, it's going to be one of two things. Either you bring your compliance to standard and then we can offer this price. If you think it's too much to go and do that, well, then we have to go and offer this price to you. That's going to be a little bit, a bit more. We can provide it to you, but you're going to have to go and put a bigger premium down.
Yeah. So I think you're hitting on a really important point on the THC beverage example, right? Because it blurs the line between a consumable good and, you know, a psychoactive substance. And when you look at product liability coverage, in the traditional sense, it's not written to contemplate the intoxicating effects of something like THC. So and considering this is an evolving product with, I would say, a regulatory posture that is lagging behind the pace of product development, it's really more a function of understanding how sensitive the company or the manufacturer is on avoiding the inevitable, right, lawsuits stemming from overconsumption, improper labeling, a lack of credibility and accuracy with respect to testing. So
yeah,
I hate to say it depends, but if we can get the feedback from an insurer to understand that they've got a compliance budget that's allocated toward positioning the company as favorably as possible in this kind of emerging area, and they've got appropriate controls in place along the way, that's the kind of engagement that we ultimately need in order to put terms and conditions and a scope of coverage on the table. That's good for the insured and good for us. I think the other thing is we're also transparent in understanding what we just can't cover, right? You know, why can't we cover bodily injury stemming from THC beverages that are being sold at a concert venue by, you know, a particular venue?
Right.
You know, maybe there are particular circumstances that would put us in that position. And I think, and the important part is just the transparency, right? How can we provide some element of relevant coverage when it really does come down to the availability of information and engagement?
And that's the part too about the information that that company might have to go and provide that's might above and beyond what they have. Because if right. there's not any set research that's going on out there, especially when it comes to anything that's intoxicating right now. So see for the psychedelics industries, the same thing goes where you have intoxicating elements or just kind of procedures, treatments, whatever there is, that, you know, if there's not the research that's being put out there, I mean, there are academic researchers, there's universities out there that are doing it, but there's the validity that government will go ahead and say, okay, we accept what they're saying here. And that helps to weigh what you do with the risk mitigation for a company if they're going to go around the psychedelics. Well, what do you say about that part where what information, if you present it to somebody else presenting a claim, you know, what's information that is going to be credible that will be accepted by someone that's going to be taking on a case like this and whatever a company privately can provide as information?
Yeah, and I think it also comes down to the impetus, right? You're absent an impetus, most companies are going to be reluctant spending all, you know, a lot of time in transparency sharing information about these topics. But if you think about oftentimes the impetus, it's commercial, right? You've got a company that has a product, they're trying to ink a contract, they're trying to execute critical distribution, some commercial initiative that's going to be a critical commercial milestone for the company. And oftentimes it's the lack of availability of insurance. Product liability coverage in this particular instance, that's going to prevent these commercial milestones from being executed. And so when you have that incentive and you have a company that's sensitive to these types of things, it creates a much more productive information sharing exchange. And so I think what is important is why does the company need product liability insurance for its THC infused beverages? And if it's a compelling reason, And we're aligning that with our, you know, genuine appetite to support companies that offer that disclosure, chances are we come up with, you know, a good solution. And you know, we saw this at a really substantial concert venue that was trying to secure product liability insurance so it could begin selling THC infused beverages. It's a new revenue stream. There's ample appetite in the market for these types of products.
It's
in
the absence of alcohol now because of the younger demographics that are going more towards mocktails and for cannabis infused beverages. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So if you can't get the coverage, you can't serve the need, you miss out on the revenue generating opportunity. And are those things enough to get you to come to the table to work in alignment with a risk carrier that oftentimes people view more as like an interrogation, or, you know, we're the cops. We're actually sitting here trying to figure out how we can enable some of these business models. And I think that's honestly where the most productive, stimulating, kind of energizing conversations that we've had over the last 6 years, helping companies of various shapes and sizes along the supply chain, is how can we use our products and solutions, not just build resilience in your business model, but to actually enable things to happen that might not otherwise happen in the absence of a lack of coverage.
We're going to go to final questions with Joe Zielkowski, founder and CEO of Rome Insurance. One area I want to go ahead and talk about when we come back from break is entering into the AI sector and ensuring the AI sector and how that also ties into cannabis and psychedelics. Here with Joe Silikowski once again. Website is realminsurance.com, R-E-L-M insurance.com. Take a look at that as we go to break. We'll be back with final questions after this. We are rounding the home stretch with Joe Silikowski, founder and CEO of Realm Insurance. Website is R-E-L-M insurance.com, R-E-L-M insurance.com. And we'll go ahead and ask real quickly about how you can learn more on the website in just a moment. But first of all, I want to ask about that Realm earlier this year made some significant strides in ensuring the AI sector. Life Insurance International reported on this about you're learning from underwriting novel risks in the AI space and what you've been able to apply equally to the dynamic and evolving risk landscape of cannabis and psychedelics. Is there any tie-in to what you're doing right now with some of the AI products or just what you're doing to address those concerns in these industries? What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, on the surface, right, they're disparate industries. But if you talk to anybody in AI, the general conclusion is every company is going to become an AI business over the coming 5 to 10 to 15 years. And so I think, at a high level, when you're looking at AI risks, you've got a question of data, right? What is the source of data? What are the models that are being used to put that data to work in order to arrive at informed and relevant conclusions? So, we look at things that relate to data governance. We look at, and look for transparency of the overall or underlying models that are digesting all this data to arrive at informed conclusions. And similar to the cannabis space, the legislative landscape or AI-related liability is massively underdeveloped. You know, who is responsible for bad decisions or bad outputs from, the different sources of AI is the structure that is being not just developed, but also put to work in some pretty important ways by companies that aren't themselves developers of AI technology. So I think, from the standpoint of being a new and emerging risk, there are similarities. I think the crossover ultimately is, when you think about precision farming, the utilization of data coming from satellites that are going to ultimately inform more productive ways of maximizing crop yield. I think, when you look at supply chain tracking and the availability of making more informed decisions on how you can bring products to market in a more efficient, cost-effective manner, while at the same time maximizing accuracy of testing and validation of that testing. Those efforts, I think, are going to become a lot more enhanced and efficient with the use of AI in the supply chain.
So just so everybody knows, there's three different products that Realm Insurance right now has. One in particular is for AI platform companies and AI-based product service providers. Another one against liabilities and cybersecurity risks stemming from AI software, and also one aimed at organizations facing third-party liability risks from the use or development of AI where existing liability coverage may not include AI-related risks. I have to be in front of the gun when it comes to this area because, I look at the journalism industry and how much they're getting bombarded right now where, I have another program I do outside of Cannabis Radio where we're talking about the media industry. And, if you are not paying attention to what AI is doing right now, and you might be incorporating it into your business, how much it takes over of it and how autonomous are you going to still be with it without, companies coming in all completely AI generated, taking away human jobs and taking away also, also just taking control of what the business is. We don't know all what's going to happen, but we know that AI has been gradually been improving. It's a language learning model that's still kind of working its way through, still makes mistakes, but if you can use it, it's being utilized. And there's a lot of, micromanaging, a lot of multitasking that's taken care of that, the need of virtual assistants and the various areas. But it's not where you can just completely leave AI to its own device. You have to manage it. It still needs human input. It still needs human control over what's happening. So that's the other part too, is a liability to it. It's an extra liability on top of, when you think it's also maybe like supposed to be a help, a resource, you got to look at it as both.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the utilization of artificial intelligence can yield so many efficiencies or and potential optimizations. But if you're ignoring the downside risk arising from making critical decisions based on data output from a model where data governance isn't, you know, really well entrenched. Yeah, there can be some unforeseen and potentially problematic outcomes, especially when you're dealing with a product that could ultimately be consumed, you know, by humans. It takes on a whole nother, you know, I would say a whole additional level of liability consideration from a risk management standpoint.
I mean, to the point, you know, we're not at the point of robotics yet and things like that, where it's going to come in and change the cultivation space. That's down the line. If it does, it's not happening right away. But it's just a matter of being ahead and forward thinking. And I'm glad that Realm has put out these products to do that. But now, overall, as an insurance company, I want to go ahead and give you a chance to go ahead and, first of all, send people to the website, relminsurance.com. And as they go to the website, Joe, real quickly, for those cannabis or psychedelic-based businesses or anybody else that's listening in, why they should come to your company and the coverage you can offer.
Yeah. So yes, thanks very much. And again, yeah, the website is realminsurance.com. And you know, what you'll see when you come to the website is, you know, a vision statement that we anchor a lot of our decisions around, which is making innovation resilient. Unlike a lot of legacy insurance companies that exist within this massive $6 trillion insurance marketplace, those companies are focused on, you know, traditional risks undertaken by traditional companies, operating within traditional industries. And as a starting point, Realm, back in 2019 and into 2020, we made a commitment to providing insurance to forward-looking industries. You know, we've built a portfolio and a risk appetite and an underwriting strategy supporting companies doing innovative and transformational things. When we commit to a sector like cannabis, psychedelics, and alternative therapeutics, it's not a short-term ephemeral decision. It is a decades-long decision where we're committing to going deeper and broader with products and solution offering. Whether the market's up or the market's on its way down, you know, our commitment is rock solid. And so from that standpoint, I think it's a pretty substantial differentiator from the rest of the market, which is just a commitment to supporting companies doing new, innovative, transformational things. And the activity that we see across the cannabis and alternative therapeutic space, I think, fits that to a T. There's a lot of innovation happening. There's a lot of risk, and ultimately, sustainability is enhanced with the availability of aligned coverage, and that's the value proposition we bring to the market.
Excellent. Please take your risk mitigation seriously, and also same thing with compliance. And same lockstep, keep yourself above the industry standard of other industries, police yourself, put the best compliance forward, and also then find the best insurance plan that works for you. And Realm is here to provide that to you. And also, I would recommend if you go to the website, go look at the news and insights. There's a lot of news stories that are put up there regularly. A lot of information is very chock full of resources. Take a look at that as well. relminsurance.com. Once again, Joel Zielkowski is joining me here, founder and CEO of Realm Insurance. Joe, thanks for being on and thanks for sharing so much with us.
All right. Great stuff. Appreciate you having me. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you, listeners, for listening. It's another Blunt Business. We'll talk to you next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent.
Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.